Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I have a good curveball I'm going to throw you today, and this is a financial show, so we talk about a lot of things related to your finances. Well, this is an interesting topic today. I've invited a guest on, an author, speaker, Bob Berg is his name, and he's written the book, The Go-Giver, and it is a fictional book, but it has a lot of important lessons, and so that's also called a business fable or a business parable. I just learned that today in talking with Bob before the program, so we're going to talk about this, and the book went all the way to number 6 on Wall Street Journal's bestsellers, business bestsellers, in just 3 weeks. And the website for today's program is Berg, BURG.com. So, welcome, Bob, to the program.
Hey, David. Great to be with you.
It's fantastic to have you on. Now, I understand you're not just an author, but you do a lot of public speaking, and I'm sure our listeners can tell right away with that voice of yours. So, give us a little bit of background about what you do and what inspired you to write this book, The Go-Giver.
Yeah, thank you. Actually, I began as a radio broadcaster years ago. And
You're going to make me nervous now.
Oh, gosh. Not, I was awful, actually. I was a newscaster on a small ABC affiliate in the Midwest, probably the worst newscaster you've ever seen, though. Aside from having a good voice and being able to read the news, I had no knowledge of the news. I was 24, right out of school. I didn't know the news, didn't care about the news. I was also probably a little bit too positive for the medium anyway. My idea of a good newscast opening would have been to say something like, "Good evening, everyone. I'm Bob Berg in the news tonight. Everything's great."
Yeah, most of us are still alive, and most of us didn't get shot today.
Hey, right, exactly. Cub Scout helped old lady cross the street, and, that doesn't... But so I quickly found myself not in TV news when I graduated into sales. The only challenge was when I went into sales, while I intuitively understood that selling was about finding a need, helping people... to helping bring value to a prospective customer or client, I had no knowledge of sales either. So I floundered for the first few months, really. And I came across a book. Now, this is 30 years ago. I came across a book by the title of How to Master the Art of Selling by Tom Hopkins, which is now an absolute classic. And it's interesting because I took that book. First of all, just looking at the title, How to Master the Art of Selling, gave me a great hope because I had no idea there was an art to it because we had no training where I was working at the time. And so I didn't realize there was actually something you could do other than knock on doors.
Mm.
And so it taught me a lot. So I really studied it. And within about 3 weeks, my sales went through the roof and I had a lot more confidence. And the only difference was I had the knowledge to be able to do what I was already motivated to do. And then I began to study Zig Ziglar and all the great sales trainers and teachers, and I worked my way up to sales manager of another company and began showing others how to do what I was doing, and eventually it sort of morphed into a speaking career, which I've been doing for close to 25 years now, so it's been a lot of fun.
Good for you. Well, if you're just joining us, ladies and gentlemen, Bob Berg is our guest. He's an author and a speaker, and the website is berg.com. The book is The Go-Giver. Now, what was the inspiration for your book?
Well, I had a book out years ago called Endless Referrals, and it was a how-to book on how to create, cultivate relationships that led to people knowing you, liking you, trusting you, which, as you know, because you're a very, very successful financial advisor, you know that's what makes a great business relationship, the know, like, and trust. And I thought, you know, I had also, and this book had been out for a while, and I had, over the years, read a bunch of business fables or parables, everything from Og Mandino's Greatest Salesman in the World to James Klassen's Richest Man in Babylon to the 1 Minute series by Blanchard and Johnson to Who Moved My Cheese. All these great, which I thought was great because within an hour or two of reading the book, always a fun book with a great message, you could learn something. And I thought, wouldn't it be great to take that basic premise that, again, all things being equal, people will do business with and refer business to those people they know, like, and trust, and put it into an easy-to-read story. So I came up with the title The Go-Giver, which simply means, you know, a go-giver is someone who has shifted their focus from themselves to others in order to provide constant and continual value to others, which in a free market environment is the only way you're going to be successful, by providing value to others, because no one's forced to buy from you. And so I knew that's what I wanted it to be about. I began to actually write it, but I could tell very quickly that I did not have the capability. You know, it's one thing to write a how-to book, like Endless Referral. It's just putting down what you know. But this was actually going to be a work of fiction. So I asked a friend of mine, John David Mann, who was editor-in-chief of a magazine I used to write for, if he would take over as the lead writer and storyteller. So we collaborated on the book, took a few months, and because of him, the story came out as it did. I mean, he really made it sing and come alive. But it's been, you know, it's been very well received, selling over 250,000 copies so far. So we're very happy with it.
That's excellent. Well, the thing that's interesting to me, Bob, is that what you're referring to, that go-giver approach or that go-giver art, I guess, kind of, you kind of referred to it earlier as an art, it's not something that's natural, per se, for a lot of folks because, you know, you got to kind of step back and say, okay, this isn't really about me when I'm trying to do these things. And I think that that's a message that sometimes gets lost. So I appreciate your hitting that point. And I think for the business owners who listen to my program or people that are in sales or people that are, everybody ultimately is in some function of sales with what they do. If they only are in their office and they never talk to an outside customer, they're still, their customers are the other people in their office.
Exactly.
But so it's okay to understand that there needs to be these kind of relationships that you can develop that, you know, just because you're trying to quote unquote sell something doesn't mean that, you know, that it's a bad thing or that you aren't doing a good thing. In fact, if you take this approach that you're espousing, which is that you're really investing these other people, which ultimately will be good for yourself.
Well, David, you know, it's interesting because when you take the word sell, the which has, you know, that sort of preconceived notion to it, and people feel, even people who are in sales, you know, you hear them say, oh, well, I'm in sales, but I don't really sell, I just help people, which means their basic premise is that selling is not helping people. And if they're in sales and that's how they feel about sales, that's hurting their business because there's a disconnect because they don't really believe in what they're doing. But if you take the word sell, the old English root of the word sell is selan, which literally meant to give. So when you're selling, you're giving. Now, someone might say, but isn't that just semantics? And I would say, not really, because think about it. If you're in the selling process, you have a prospect in front of you. If you're in the selling process, what are you giving them? I suggest you're giving time, attention, counsel, education, empathy, and value. So when you're selling, you are giving, and you should be very proud of being in that field.
Every single one of those things that you just said, Bob, is what I do when I work with my clients. And it's funny, as you were describing, I'm like, you know what? I give a little piece of myself every time I work with somebody because I'm investing in them a lot of time and interest and trying to help them. If you just join us, ladies and gentlemen, we're getting the reality of selling and giving to others in that process. Bob Berg is our guest, author, speaker. The book is The Go-Giver, Berg.com, B-U-R-G.com. Quick break. We'll be right back.
What's your dream? Play golf every day of the week? Turn that hobby into a new career? With careful planning, you can make it happen. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your no-obligation consultation. At Holland Financial, we want to help you take the first step towards making your dreams a reality. That number again is 888-747-7526.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Bob Berg is our guest, author, and speaker. The book is The Go-Giver, and the website is berg.com, and we're having a very nice conversation with Bob. Bob, I wanted to ask you, and I want to get to this, because when I was looking over some of my notes about our conversation today, one of the things that really jumped off the page and went into orbit, no pun intended, the five laws of stratospheric success. Okay, so I'm very curious to hear about that, what that's about, and what we can learn from you about that.
Well, the five laws, and basically they work together in conjunction. And the five laws themselves are the law of value, the law of compensation, the law of influence, the law of authenticity, and the law of receptivity. The first law is really the foundational one. That's the law of value. And what it says is that your true worth is determined by how much more you give in value than you take in payment. Now, when you first hear that, that's very counterintuitive. In fact, it sounds rather counterproductive. I mean, the natural question would be, how do you give more in value than you take in payment and survive, never mind thrive? And so what we have to understand there, David, is the difference between price and value, and this is key. Because price is a dollar amount. It's a dollar figure. It's finite. It is what it is. Value, on the other hand, is the relative worth or desirability of a thing to the end user or beholder. In other words, what is it about this thing, this product, service, concept, idea, that brings with it so much value or worth that someone will exchange their money for it and be just so totally glad that they did, while you make a very healthy profit.
So if I use a practical example of, say, my working with clients and I'm charging them a fee to manage their money, mm-hmm. and they could pay me, you know, say it's 1.5% to manage their investment account, or they could pay somebody down the street that 1.5%. The price is the same, but the reason they do business with me is they perceive a greater value.
Yes. First, you're hopefully making them more money because of your knowledge. In fact, I'd say that basically value is communicated through five different ways: excellence, consistency, attention, empathy, and appreciation. So to the degree that you not only provide them with an ability for them to make more in their investments than what they're paying you, which you do by the very nature of the thing, that's what a financial advisor does, but to the degree you also make them feel comfortable in the process, you make them feel cared for, you make them feel valued, which I know you do, that's the degree that you're adding so much more. So they're actually getting more in value than what they're paying. So you both come in. In fact, the essence of a free market-based exchange between two or more willing parties is that all the parties come away from the transaction much better off than they were before.
So they get a quantitative measure of, say, performance for fee paid, but there's also this qualitative peace of mind or the personal experience.
Exactly. And that's why the basic rule is this. Money is simply an echo of value. It's the thunder to value's lightning, which means nothing more than that the value must be communicated. The value must come first. And the money that anyone makes is simply a direct and very natural result of the value they've provided.
That makes a lot of sense to me, Bob. I like that. Bob Berg is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's an author and speaker. The book is The Go-Giver, and that is on berg.com. And it's a, as we described earlier, it's a fictional message. You've got different characters in the book that all of this is to deliver some very important messages about, a way of working, interacting with other people around you in sales or in other aspects of your life.
Yeah, you know, I think like any success principle, it works across the board. And when we talk about success, obviously there's success in terms of financial, which is really what this book is about. But there's financial, physical, mental, emotional, social. And typically, when you've mastered one area with real good universal laws and principles, it tends to work across the board to other areas of your life.
Excellent. We're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Bob Berg is on the line with us, author and speaker. The book is The Go-Giver, berg.com, B-U-R-G.com, berg.com. I got to ask Bob, because I know you've seen a lot with your experience and all the work that you've done speaking and being hired by companies that come in and talk to their people. This concept of there being selling skills or techniques or tricks, if you will, that are sometimes deployed or used by salespeople or encouraged and taught by different organizations. What's your take on that?
Well, tricks, of course, no. Anything that's, you know, that comes with any duplicity or duplicativeness, if that's even a word, that would be totally discouraged, of course. But sales training and sales teaching is very important because it's selling as a profession. And like any profession, we study it and we need to learn how to do this in such a way that we benefit our prospect customers and clients. You know, some people have said, well, you know, are you sort of denigrating or downplaying sales training or sales education? And,
right.
and the answer is no, not at all. We think it's very important, but it's simply baseline. You know, it's like the baseball player who knows how to throw and field and hit. You've got to do that just to get into the game. And it's the same with understanding selling skills and any kind of business skills. But that's not typically what makes a great salesperson great or productive. What really tends to be the big differentiator is that the top leaders, the great influencers, the truly successful high-producing salespeople seem to understand a very, very elementary and basic truth about selling, and that is that it's never about you, and it's not even about your products or service. It's always about the other person and how they will benefit from your product, service, experience, and so forth.
Well, that's really the bottom line, isn't it? Because it's just, you know, if somebody comes in here and I spend the entire time meeting with them talking about how great we are or talking about how great a company is or how great an investment is, it's backwards. The focus that I take is on looking at where that person is and then saying, okay, what's out there that they need, or what are the things that I can help them with that'll get them where they want to be, where they need to be, where they should be, and help them make the right decisions.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's that old saying that every year millions and millions of quarter-inch drill bits are bought, and yet not one person buying one of those millions and millions of quarter-inch drill bits actually wants a quarter-inch drill bit. What they want is a quarter-inch hole. You know, the drill bit's the way to get there, but it's the hole that's the key. And that's where the focus is always on the other person.
I like that. That's very good. Now, the other thing I wanted to mention, just kind of going back to, because I see this, and I want to say, I don't know if it annoys you as much as it annoys me. I get bombarded with all kinds of stuff, as you can imagine, being in the financial business, about some of it is good skill sets, but some of it is, you know, overcome objections by the customer or the prospective customer. That's always rubbed me the wrong way. I shouldn't be overcoming objections. I should be answering questions, or I should be helping the person understand whatever it is I'm recommending better. Am I right to be kind of annoyed with that?
Yeah, well, when you think of it, just the term overcoming,
right.
it's like convincing. And what did Dale Carnegie tell us in How to Win Friends and Influence People? A person convinced against their will is of the same opinion still. Why? Mm. Well, convince comes from the Latin convincere, which means to conquer. Does anybody really want to be conquered and told they're wrong? So really, a lot of times when somebody has an objection, it's not a matter of overcoming it. It's a matter of working within the context of the objection to, first of all, help this person and help you, the salesperson, identify what the objection actually is. You know, sometimes in the buying process, a person, you know, the prospect, they don't know as much about the process as the salesperson does. They don't know, you know, so there's always that feeling of fear. There's always that anxiety and so forth. So sometimes an objection is not the real objection.
Right.
Not that anybody's fibbing. It's just that they don't really understand enough to know what the objection. So
the objection might be simply, hey, let's slow down a little bit.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so what we need to do is through questions in a way that are empathetic, questions in a way that truly desire to understand. In other words, listening.
And imagine
actually
that.
Listening not just to answer, but listening just to listen. And together, when you and the prospect can go through it and determine what the actual objection is, now you're in a position where you can provide the correct information, and if they want to go ahead with the transaction, great. And if they don't, because they don't feel it's in their best interest, that's also fine. But you can't get to that point unless both of you truly understand what the true objection is.
Excellent. Bob Berg is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. The book is The Go-Giver, the website, berg.com. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Sometimes I know what I want to say, but just can't find the words.
Last week, I shouted at my grandson, and I'm not sure why.
I saw my daughter, but couldn't remember her name.
The sooner you recognize the warning signs of Alzheimer's disease, the sooner you can do something about it. To learn more, go to alz.org/10signs. That's alz.org/10signs. A message from the Alzheimer's Association.
And we're back. The show's going very quickly because I find myself listening and forgetting I'm interviewing Bob Berg, author, speaker. The book is The Go-Giver, and the website is berg.com. Good stuff, Bob. I really love what you're talking about. And I want to ask you one more thing, and I know you have this in your book. And in your book, you say, you quote unquote, you can't make a sale. What do you mean by that? Because a lot of people, we hear that terminology about the car salesperson making a sale or the financial person making a sale.
Yeah, here's really what it is. And I get asked a lot about that, and there's always a good laugh to it because people say, well, you've got to make sales. Well, that's what we do. We make a sale. And what we're really saying is this. In a free market-based economy where no one is
made to do anything.
To buy from. You're right. You can't make them buy anything. What you can do is you can create the proper environment where that person feels good about you. They know you, like you, trust you, respect you, and they choose to buy. And you are there to receive the sale. Now, you know, we might say, isn't that just semantics? Well, you know, maybe, but semantics are important sometimes, not only in what we tell others about what we do, but in what we tell ourselves about what we do. I mean, if you believe you're out there to make the sale, then it's all about you. On the other hand, if you believe you're out there to create the proper environment where that person, based on their own self-interest, decides to buy, then your focus is on them.
You're facilitating. The way I look at it, Bob, every one of my clients knows this, is it's my job to, again, help them figure out what they need and to educate them and to counsel them and to assist in facilitating. And so am I selling my services to them? Well, yes. But it's a value proposition saying, here's what I think you need. Here's how I think you need to do it. Here's what I would recommend. And it's all based on what they've told me about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not having to, quote unquote, make a sale.
Yeah, well, exactly.
That's good stuff. I love it. I love it, Bob. It's great. So the book, what should somebody take from the book? I guess we've got about a half a minute here. When somebody picks up your book on the website, theberg.com, The Go-Giver is the name of the book, what should people look to get from that?
I think they're going to understand that the key is it's all about that shift in focus. It's moving from an I focus or a me focus to an other focus, understanding that that's not only a nice way to live life, it's a very financially profitable way as well.
So it's not a us against them. It's, you know, this give does receive.
Absolutely. When you're truly interested in providing value to others, that's when you create what I call a benevolent context for success.
I love it. Bob Berg is our guest, ladies and gentlemen, author, speaker, the book, The Go-Giver, and the website, berg.com, and lots more on the website besides the book. Please go there and visit. Bob, thank you very much for being on the program today.
Oh, thank you. It was a pleasure.
All right. Thank you.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.